be in the house of God. Amen. There has been a great visitation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here the last couple of days. You may be seated. And we have been blessed to be a part, amen, of what is going on here at, amen, I like to call it TOP. Amen. TOP this. Amen. Tabernacle of Praise. It's been quite some time. Amen. Since we had been here, a good number of years, probably at least a decade, amen. And that's how fast time has gone by. We appreciate the Richardsons. We appreciate that they have not changed. In a world that's changing, amen, it's good to know that there are people who still have remained the same. Amen. Praise God. We see politicians, amen, go with popular opinion. And one day they're for something, and the next day they're against it, amen, so that they can have your vote, amen. But that's not what ministry is about, amen. Praise God. We stand on the Word of God. We stand on the principles of God's Word, amen. And the Bible teaches us that if we will build our life on the rock, amen, the storms are going to come, amen. In that parable, the storms came to, amen, both houses, one built on the sand and the other built on the rock. It didn't say the house built on the rock didn't have a storm. It didn't say that. But it did say that when the storm came, amen, that it didn't fall. Amen, that it endured the test of time. And that's our life, amen. Storms are going to come. And we look around in this world and there's a lot of people building their life on sand, building it on popular opinion, building it on political correctness, amen, which is always changing, amen. But when you build your life on the Word of God, amen, you can be the same person today and tomorrow because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. I'm glad I don't serve a God that I wake up tomorrow and can't figure out what he's thinking, amen. Praise God. There's assurance in that, and I'm just grateful, amen, to be a part of what God is doing. I could easily preach again tonight, but I'm not going to. I want to teach the Word of God and talk about leadership. And this is an area that I am passionate about, very, very passionate about in my life. I have had the opportunity to lead in various capacities in a secular sense. Just give you a quick rundown. Amen. I've been a dean at a university. I've been an executive director at a university. I've been a director and currently own my own consulting business where I consult with different universities going in and helping them fix things that are broken. And so I've had the opportunity to lead in that arena, but I've also had the opportunity to lead in the house of God. Amen. And so I feel like, amen, God has allowed me to experience things in different avenues and different venues and different perspectives, amen, but there are some lessons that I have learned in my time of leadership, amen, and one thing I will say is that leadership is not for the faint of heart, amen, nor is it for those who have thin skin, amen. If you are going to lead, let me just say this, we are all leaders in some capacity, amen, every one of us is a leader in some capacity, amen. You may not be the pastor, but you are a leader in some capacity. Leading simply equates to this, that you have influence over others. Amen. That you have influence over others. Amen. Your influence in your family, husbands and fathers, you're leading. Amen. Mothers, you're leading in various ways, and your household and your children, amen, and so forth. And then there is formal leadership where you have vested authority. I do want to start off by saying this, amen, that all authority comes from God. All authority comes from God, amen. And I want to teach leadership first and foremost. I could give you a lot of theories tonight, amen, but I want to teach the biblical perspective of leadership because it's quite different than the secular perspective of leadership, amen. And I'm getting to that in a little bit, but all authority is of God, and I just want to preface everything I'm about to say with this. When God calls you into leadership, you do not have to be political to get there. You do not have to stab someone in the back to get the position. You do not have to run someone down. Amen. If you do all of those things to get in a position of leadership, you're not a leader. Okay? And you will not be blessed. All right? So I want to put that out there because that is what the world teaches. The world teaches that you've got to play the game to get to a position of influence. That is not the church. That is not the kingdom of God. But tonight, what I want to talk about is two primary areas. I want to talk about the spirit and the attitude of leadership. And I want to talk about becoming a leader. The spirit and attitude of leadership. And I want to talk about becoming. Amen. And I'll break this down. If you have your Bibles, we will start off in Matthew chapter 20. And just stay with me. I know I'm not yelling and sweating and spitting and amen. But just keep your spirit open. I believe God wants to impart something to us. This is not a lecture, amen. But I believe God wants to open up our spirit to understand what he wants to do. Matthew 20, verse 20, amen. We are in a place in our society, as you're turning there, and then I will go to Matthew 23, amen. And then I will go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. While you're finding all those places, we are living in a society and a culture that is void of real leadership. You may say, well, Brother Davis, we have a president, and we have Congress, and we have senators, and we have mayors, and we have city councilmen. Amen. A title does not make you a leader. A title does not make you a leader. A corner office does not make you a leader. It doesn't make you a leader. And so while we have people filling offices, amen, what we don't have is leadership, amen. What we don't have is people that are leading in a godly manner, amen. And what we don't have ultimately is leaders that are serving. Because that is leadership. And that's what I want to get to, amen. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 20, and it reads this. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in the kingdom. Now it's bad when your mama is lobbying for you to have a position. Amen. You talk about a cheap shot. Amen. When you get your mother involved going to Jesus, amen, asking for position, that's pretty desperate. But nonetheless, even the disciples dealt with this element of pride. Okay? Even the disciples dealt with this jockeying for position. You would think, but these are supposed to be spiritual men. They were men nonetheless. Nonetheless, they were men. Verse 21, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said, grant that these my two sons may sit, one on the right, one on the left. Verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. And be baptized with the baptism, amen, that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, authority, and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, now the other 10 heard this, they were moved with indignation. They were hot. They were mad at the other two. How dare they jockey for position with their mother. Amen. Against the two brothers. But Jesus called them. Jesus knew, hey, I've got some issues going on with my leadership. I've got some pride beginning to rear its head. Amen. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, the world, exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercises of authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Now, we're talking about God's leadership model. servant leadership. Amen. Jesus said, boys, we're not playing that game. We're not going to be cutting each other's throats trying to get to the top and have influence. I'm going to show you how my kingdom is built. Amen. I'm going to introduce you to a new leadership model, to a new understanding of what leadership is in my domain, in my kingdom. And he said this, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And then Jesus puts an exclamation mark on this. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus said, you've got it all wrong. If you think that getting to the top is stabbing your brother in the back and trying to have prominence and preeminence, Jesus said, no. You want to be a leader in my kingdom. You've got to learn to serve in order to lead. Amen. You've got to learn to humble yourself. You want to be the greatest in the house of God. You want to be used by God. You want to do something in the kingdom of God, then you've got to learn to be a servant to all. I'm going to keep reiterating this because our intellect, our carnal mind says that doesn't make sense. How do you lead by serving? Well, you've got to understand, first of all, you have to throw out your paradigm and understanding of leadership altogether. You have to erase everything that you have learned in this world about leadership. You've got to throw it out. Because this world says, I'm in charge, I'm the leader, you do what I say, you serve me. That's this world's model. But Jesus takes the pyramid and flips it on its head. And Jesus says, the servant, the leader, serves those that are following. The leader leads not by dictating, but by setting the pace of example and by empowering, by enabling, and by equipping those that are following with everything that they need. To the point that Jesus said that I have not come that people would serve me, but I've come that I might serve them and even give my life. That's another point of leadership, is that as a true leader in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, you have got to learn to be invested in people. You've got to learn, amen, to love people, because people do not care what you say, they care what you do, amen. People are not impressed with what we say, people are impressed and will follow what we do. Amen. The motive and the spirit in which you lead will determine the effectiveness of your leadership. Amen. Jesus stated in Matthew 23, 11, 12, but he that is greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Let's go to Matthew 23, 11, 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be the servant of all, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he, amen, that shall be abased and humble himself shall be exalted. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing God saying, look, the way to have influence, amen, the way to be effective in my kingdom is you've got to strip yourself, because in essence, this is what it comes down to. Is a stripping away of pride and ego and saying, you know what, Pastor, I want to be a leader, but I understand that in order to lead, I've got to be an example and I've got to serve. It's not just me telling people, hey, run over here and do this and run over there and do that and jump when I say jump and run when I say run and do this and do that, you know, go fetch and no. But it's leading by example. It's setting the pace. It's learning to lead out of compassion and empathy. It's learning, amen, to be broken, amen, and to feel what the people you're serving and leading feel. Amen. The second point I want to pause on, amen, is becoming is more important than doing. Becoming a leader is more important than doing. Amen. You may say, well, what are you talking about? Leadership entails doing. But that's where our world, once again, that's where we stop. We go to universities, we get an MBA, we get a bachelor's degree in business administration, we get a master's in business administration, amen. We get all these degrees, amen, so that we can do. But once again, in God's economy, being a leader is not just about doing, it's about becoming. It's from the inside out of becoming something, building character, amen. We see this, turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. Once again, the Apostle Paul is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ as our example of what leadership looks like, of what it means to lead in the kingdom of God. Philippians, the second chapter, verse number 5, it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I want to pause there. We've got too many people trying to make themselves a reputation. We are a generation that is obsessed. Amen. Let me go ahead and get on this candy. We're a generation that's obsessed with, amen, creating web pages and having followers on Facebook and Instagram and creating YouTube channels so that people will follow us. Amen. We are a generation that is obsessed with making ourselves a reputation. Even in ministry, we want to make ourselves a reputation. We want to be known as a prophet, and we want to be known as a great this, and we want to leave a legacy, and we want everybody to remember us. But let me tell you, that's not the scripture, and that's not the spirit of Christ. Amen. That's the pride. That's arrogance. That's flesh. Amen. It's not the Bible way. God doesn't care what your last name is. God doesn't care if you have a GED or a PhD. God is interested in, do you have character? Do you have conviction? Do you have humility? Do you have compassion? Or are you hung up on who you think you are? Amen. Is it all about you? Amen. Is it all about your image? Are you doing what you do to impress the pastor? Are you doing what you do to impress others? Or are you doing what you do to impress God? It makes a world of a difference, friend. Because my Bible tells me that if you do it to be seen, you've got your reward right now. If you do it to be seen, you've got your reward now. But when we come before God and we serve, amen, when we serve, when we lead from a pure heart, amen, then we're blessed. There's a difference, amen, between, and I'm motivated by two types of leaders, good leaders and bad leaders, amen. I've had some good bosses. I think I can only count like one or two in 20-something years of working, and I've had lots of bad bosses. And I've learned as much from those bad bosses as from the good one, amen, or two that I've had. There's a lot to be learned and to look at. And a person's motive impacts and sets the tone and the atmosphere for everything. I'm sure you can all think of someone that's been in charge of something, whether it's work or a church project, amen. And the minute they got that title, they turned into Godzilla. All of a sudden, they're just, rah, you know, I've got the power. You know, they don't listen to anyone. They're indifferent. They're arrogant. And all of these things, what that shows, that goes back to my initial point. What that shows is that they're caught up in doing, but they're not being. They're not a real leader because, amen, leadership, development, and character starts from the inside out. It's what God does in you. I'm going to get there and give it examples in a moment. But the Bible says that, amen, being found in the fashion as a man. We're talking about God, the God of eternity. Just pause, walk with me for a moment. The God of eternity, the eternal God, the sovereign God of the universe, that by his word spoke all things into existence, that even till this day, scientists, we're still discovering the galaxies and we're still in marvel of the wonders of the universe. Amen. Our minds still cannot even conceive, amen, the depth of space. This God came down, enrobed himself in flesh, condensed himself, enrobed himself, humbled himself to become his own creation. The creator became the creation for the sake of redemption. You talk about, you think it's hard for you to humble yourself and apologize to someone. You know, we're nothing. Even on our best day, we're nothing. But when you talk about a perfect God that's beyond our comprehension, says, I'm going to become flesh. That's the ultimate humbling. And if God would enrobe himself in flesh, he could have come in and the whole world could have heralded him. He could have been born on clouds of glory with 10,000 chariots escorting him into this world. But instead, this God was born in a manger, in a stable, amongst the beasts of the field, animals, amen, in lowliness. My God, that in and of itself sets a precedent for us that if God, the eternal God, would humble himself to walk so lowly, who are we? Who are you and I to think that we are above anything when it comes to serving humanity? When it comes, because that's the essence of leadership. It's not, I'm hoping you're making the connection that leading is serving. There is no leadership without servanthood. There is no leadership without servant. If you're leading and not serving, you're not a leader. You're delusional, is what you are. You're full of yourself. You're full of pride. You're full of arrogance. You're full of flesh. But when you understand what I'm teaching, when you get a revelation, all of a sudden, it becomes a privilege. Pastor Richardson, I don't begrudge anything I get to do for God when I get to serve people. I count it a privilege. And even this week, it has been in my spirit, and I've said it several times. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. It is a privilege to be a servant for God. It is a privilege to teach a Bible study. It's a privilege to be a Sunday school teacher. It's a privilege to preach the Word of God. It's a privilege to go to the convalescent ministry, to the jailhouses. It's a privilege. Why? Because I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a leader in God's kingdom, and I lead by serving. I lead by being, and which ultimately translates into me doing. But the flesh says, man, I don't have time for that. Pastor, just put me up here on the I want a big chair like yours, Pastor. That's what I deserve. Don't you know, Pastor, I'm smarter than everyone else. Don't you know I have experience in the corporate world, and I've got teams of people, and I'm over big budgets. Let me tell you something, friend. The skills are good, and I'll get to that. Amen. It's good to have skills. Amen. Get educated, and then get over it. Amen. Get educated, and then get over it. Amen. I believe in education. My wife and I, we have spent a long time in education. I've been a part of doctoral studies, and I need to finish my doctorate. Amen. But I've done all of that. But you know what that's taught me? That this is the real wisdom. I work with PhDs all the time. Amen. Every day. But you know what? It's not wisdom. It's knowledge. And the Bible says knowledge does what? It puffeth up. So with their knowledge, get some wisdom and get some understanding so that you can be useful. Because there's some professors I've met, amen, the only use of their body is to carry their head. And that's about it. There's not much usefulness in what they're doing. And so when we look at the kingdom of God, we see here that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Amen. And being found in the fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Amen. He humbled himself. He didn't stop there. And took upon him the form of a servant. God became the servant. The ultimate leader led by serving. He became a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Obedience unto death. Even the death of the cross, the Bible says. Wherefore, see, this is the summation. This is the totality. This is the zenith of God's validation. Amen. Because the Bible says that God highly exalted him. What happens, friend? Let me just say this. I want to digress. There's so many thoughts in my spirit and my mind around this. Amen. And I'm very passionate about this. But there's no validation in the cross. Just hear me for a moment. All right? And what I mean by that, let me unpack that. We do a lot of things for God, and we expect to get our reward right now. Okay? Jesus' validation came after Calvary in resurrection. All the way to Calvary was service, 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 culminating in his crucifixion. A lot of times, I wish there was a house full of preachers. A lot of times, ministry, we think we need to be validated right now in this life. You need to praise me. You need to respect me. Don't you know who I am? I'm third, fourth generation. I'm this, I'm that. I'm presbyter, I'm superintendent. Amen. We need to honor the ministry. Don't get me wrong. We need to respect the position. But I'm talking those of us that are in leadership. Amen. Those that are aspiring to ministry. Don't you expect people to bow down to you? Don't you expect it? Amen. That's not what this is about. Our validation will come in the resurrection when we stand before the Lord. Amen. He that is first shall be last, and he that is last shall be first. Real ministry is always last, and it's last because it's serving. I'm going to say that again. Real ministry is always last because it's serving. And Jesus said, he that is first, oh, hey, respect me. Don't you know who I am? I want the big sheet. I want prominence. I want the plaque. I want the accolades. I want my name on the program. I want my name on the lights. I want to do this. I want everybody to see me. You know what the Bible says? You're going to be last if you make it. You're going to be last. You know why? Because you weren't spending time serving. You were spending time promoting yourself. You were spending time putting your agenda ahead of God's agenda. So God says, okay, get in the back of the line. But that home missionary, that man of God, that woman of God, that saint of God, amen, that when nobody was looking, they're picking up people, they're bringing them to church, they're teaching Bible studies, they're going to convalescent ministry, preaching to people, reaching the people, they're going to the jails and the juvenile halls and CYA, and they're doing all these things, amen, and nobody gives them a plaque, nobody gives them a pat on the back, they never get a front row seat, they never get a handshake, their name's never called. Let me tell you, you know what the Bible says? That when you get to heaven, you're going to be first. God's going to tell all those big wigs who thought they were big, get behind. These are the servants. These are the leaders. These are the influencers. These are the difference makers. These are the people that made themselves of no reputation. They cared more about my reputation than their own. They cared more about my work than their own. They cared more about my agenda than their own. Those are the people that are going to be first. I'll never forget, when I got that revelation, I was so frustrated. I was praying about things and situations. I'm like, God, why does it just seem like this and this and that? And the Lord just spoke to my spirit and took me to the scripture. And he said, real ministry is always last. It's last. Because it's always serving in this life. Real ministries always last. People who run to the front of the line to promote themselves, they got theirs. They got it now. And usually they haven't done much besides self-promotion. You know, social media has its pros and cons. I don't preach against it. I think you need to manage it, you know. But there came a point I even dumped my Instagram because I just got tired of self-promoting, people seeing. I was looking at people, they go do outreach and the whole world's got to know. I'm like, can't you do anything for God without letting the whole world know what you're doing? You did outreach one time out of 365 days, and the world's got to know that you did outreach. But you only did it once, but everybody's going to know that's following you, how spiritual you are. Now, there's nothing wrong with showing a good rally. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about people, and you know who they are. They're not very spiritual, but oh, when they get a little inspiration or it's going to look good, click, 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 click. All of a sudden, they're walking on water. On social media, they're spiritual. Self-promoting. Self-promoting. You know, kids never pray and all this and that. All of a sudden, their kid, you know, does something and boom, they're going to be a preacher. I'm going to take a picture of that. They're next in line to the throne. Amen. Amen. Just creating an image, a fabrication. Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know people by their fruits. Amen. Not by their pictures. Amen. Not by how well they can brand themselves and create an image and a reputation. We've got to be careful, church, because we are living in that culture of self-promotion. We are living in a culture that says self first, selfie, me, mine, iPad, my generation, me generation. We are living in that. And our mind, we are becoming so self-centered and so self-serving that we're all in this rat race to create an image and a reputation and to outdo each other to the point that we're not even serving a world that around us that's lost. Because if there's no glory in it, we're not doing it. If I can't get credit for it, I'm not doing that. It's a waste of time. We find 1,001 justification. Well, that's not a good use of my resources. Let me tell you, I read about a Savior who, after preaching to thousands, said, I have need to go to Samaria. There's a woman there. One woman. One woman. We can't teach a Bible study or pick someone up for church because it's an inconvenience, but yet I find Jesus going out of his way. He just preached the crusade. He just did miracles. And he's like, you know, boys, go ahead. I got to go through Samaria. There's a woman. Wait, one woman that's going to bring a revival to a city. And I'm going to go out of my way. Because while you guys can only see the masses, I see the one who's going to influence the masses. Man, I love God because he just has a way of rocking our world and turning everything upside down. When we start getting arrogant and lifted up, God says, you missed it. The hidden wisdom of God, he hides it. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Going back to my statement about validation, the validation is not through the ministry. It's at the end of the ministry in the resurrection. The Bible says this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. When? After the death. Even the death of the cross, verse 8, in verse 9, we see validation comes. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. When did God exalt Jesus? When was that flesh exalted and glorified? It wasn't on the earth. It was after the mission was accomplished, after he had served, after he had given the ultimate, paid the ultimate price, God said, all right, I'm going to give you a name that is above every name. Amen. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Amen. Wherefore God exalted him when it was finished, when it was done, when it was accomplished, when he served. That is where our validation comes. As saints, as ministers, as laity working in the church, aspiring, amen, to have influence. It's after we serve that God validates our life. So quit looking for validation in this life. He validates us through his love. But I'm talking about the point where all of a sudden we're getting accolades and we're getting praise. You might not ever get it, so stop looking for it. You might not ever get it. But one day when you cross over to the other side of glory, oh, you're going to hear the words. And I prayed and I asked God, I just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I might not ever get a pat on the back in this life. I might not ever do the things that people say are important. But if I can stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Then I have achieved it all. I have arrived when I hear those words. You have arrived when you hear those words. Amen. Servant leadership, serving and leading by serving. Amen. Not making ourselves of reputation. Not being like the disciples trying to outdo each other and position each other. Amen. Just the other day at work, amen. I'm doing some consulting for a university. I just started this week doing some work with them. And long story short, not to bore you with the details, the first thing that happens on day number three, these two women come into my office and shut the door. And what do? They start trying to position themselves to get favor with me. They start literally slandering another director, telling me why she can't be trusted and how she plays the game. And I'm looking at them, discerning their spirit, and I'm thinking, you're going about this wrong. You're getting this all wrong. You're not going to get ahead with me by throwing someone else under the bus. But once again, my point of saying that is, if we're not careful, we can operate in the same spirit. Well, Pastor, if I kick a little dirt on them, you know, Pastor might like me more. He might promote me. He might trust me. That's pride. That's flesh. And guess what? We wrestle with that. Yeah, we wrestle with that. We get our feelings hurt. Well, why didn't he ask me to do that? You know, I've got more experience. I've been around here longer. Just serve. Just serve. And God will exalt you in due time. If you're meant to do something, hear me. If you're meant to do something, God's going to make sure you get there. But you're not going to get there with the wrong spirit. You're not going to, you know why? Because if you get there with the wrong spirit, you're going to destroy yourself. And God wants you saved, and you're going to destroy other people, and God wants other people saved. This goes to my next point. Amen. Becoming is more important than doing. Moses is a prime example of a man who had abilities, but was not ready until God worked on him and refined him in character. Moses, let's think about this. Egypt, till this day, is one of the greatest civilizations in antiquity of all time. Far ahead of civilization in the sciences and mathematics, and on, and you go on and on and on and on. Egypt has yet to be rivaled by any civilization. And here Moses was born into this era of time and raised in Pharaoh's house, tutored by the best, by the wisest of that time of intellect. From infancy on up to adulthood, Moses had ability. Moses had ability. He was trained to be a leader at the highest level. But God did not lean on Moses' ability alone. It wasn't discounted. God didn't dismiss it. Because that was the plan of God for him to get that knowledge. If you're going to lead 1 million-plus people out of slavery, you better have some leadership skills. You better have some administration skills. Okay? Moses was not a dummy. Maybe he stuttered, but he wasn't a dummy. But what he lacked at that time was the character to lead at that level in the way that God wanted him to lead. And oftentimes, and I have been there, in my life, a because I've not yet arrived. There's things I'm striving for. But I've been there where God says, oh, you got ability, but you're not ready yet. And I'm like, man, God, I think I'm ready. God's like, no, you're not. And guess what? I found out I wasn't ready because I hadn't gone through some things yet. And Moses was in that situation where he had ability, amen, but he didn't have the character that was needed. And so we see that God puts Moses on the backside of the desert, not just in the desert, on the backside. Amen. It's bad enough being in the desert, but when you're on the backside of a desert, that's pretty bad. And now he's with sheep. And if you, and I won't get into that. If you know anything about being a shepherd, amen, shepherds in antiquity were not the most esteemed group of people, okay, by any stretch of the imagination. They weren't invited to the dinner parties and all the prestigious things. No, they were shepherds. You smell like sheep, okay? And so we see from the palace to the backside of the desert, working for your father-in-law. Come on, guys. I don't know if there's anything worse than that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tending and doing all of this stuff. But what was God doing in Moses for 40 years? God was tempering his temperament. That Moses that was quick to slay someone, God said, I got to get that out of you. Because you're going to have a lot of opportunities to kill somebody where I'm taking you. And if you keep that temperament, I won't have a nation to lead out of Egypt. But we see in chapter 32 in the Word of God, I'm just going to paraphrase it, we see where God's getting ready to destroy the entire nation of Israel because of their sin. And we see the same hot-headed man now become a man of empathy and compassion. We see this man step in and say, God, you know what? If you kill them, you got to kill me too. If you blot them out, you got to blot me out. This isn't the Moses of 40 years ago. No, this is a man that's been through some things. This is a man that's walked alone. This is a man that has felt rejection. This is a man that's been broken and stripped of everything that he once knew. Let me tell you, friend, there is no lower place than to be in a place where you think your dreams are never going to happen. There is nothing worse than being somewhere and having the memory of what you were. And coming to a place where you lose it all. And you never think, I'll ever do that again. I'll never see that again. I'll never hear that again. I'll never feel that again. And that was Moses, friend. Don't you think after 40 years, the memories of the palace were faded? He had given up any hope of doing anything substantial. But in this setting, he says, God, if you kill them, got to kill me. Well, that's God's man. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God face to face. That was God's friend. He had influence with God. But God knew the potential. Yes, he had ability, but God had to give him the character to be able to lead at that level. What am I saying? If you want to lead at a great level, you've got to become, not just do. There's something that has to be changed in each and every one of us. Amen. The more we aspire to godly leadership, I'm going to just say it, the more you're going to go through. The more you aspire, and that's not to scare you off, but that's God's educating process. That's God's way of getting us ready. Amen. There's a quote, amen, that I want to share. The other day I read this from one of our preachers. Amen. It says, don't allow your gift to carry you where your character cannot sustain you. Don't allow your gift to carry you where your character cannot sustain you. We have gifts and ability in this generation, and yea, even in this house, but do we have the character that when we get there to the positions of influence, and when we get there to the wealth, and when we get there to the prominence, are we going to be carried away with high-mindedness to the point that we destroy ourselves? Some folks cannot handle the influence nor the blessing, and because God loves them, they never get there.
And so once again, God is more interested in the kingdom of God. Becoming a leader is more about becoming and being than it is doing. Do you understand how repetitively I'm saying that? But I want you to be able to parcel that out in your mind. Because once again, we say, well, I've got the skills. But do you have the character? Have you been to that place where God has emptied you out of yourself? Have you been to that place where God can say, I can trust you now with authority, because when I put it in your hands, you're not going to abuse it. You're not going to run around trying to make yourself a reputation. Amen. You're not going to run around trying to make yourself somebody great and big and grandiose. Amen. But when I give you that authority, amen, I felt the Lord spoke this to me the other day, and I was meditating on this. It's interesting that you asked me to teach this, because I was meditating on it, and it came to me in a way that I won't be able to share with you, but I want to attempt. This is what the Lord impressed upon me. The real goal of leadership should be to serve, lead, and lift others to a higher level. It's not about you. It's always about those that you are leading. Leadership is called to serve, to lift others, to lead others, and to serve others. It's not about the leader. It's about the followers always. It's always about the followers. If God gives you wealth, or if God gives you a promotion, an influence, that is not about you to think that, look, I have earned and I deserve. Hear me. Our carnal mind says, I deserve that. Our carnal mind says, this is mine. This is my money. This is my influence. And sometimes we can even preach it like, hey, God rewarded you because you're so great. No, what God did was that God trusts you. He trusts you. And he's saying, okay, I'm going to trust you with this money. I'm going to trust you with this promotion. I'm going to trust you with this leadership position. I'm going to trust you with this ministry. It's not because you're great. It's because I trust you and I want to see, what are you going to do with it? I'm giving it to you so that you can serve others with it. So that you can be benevolent, compassionate, and empathetic to help those that are struggling, those that don't have your wealth, your knowledge, your influence, your skills. God says, I've given you all that talent, amen, so that you can help those that are less fortunate, to lift them, to raise them, to empower them, to equip them, to improve their quality of life, their walk with God. You see, when you look at it that way, it's not even about you. We simply become the channel. We become the water hose that the water flows through, the conduit. We simply become the vessel. Instead of shining our vessel, look at us. Yeah. Well, that's pretty. Look at that. No, we simply become the vessel. God, flow through me. You give me a lot, it flows out a lot. You anoint me, it flows out a lot. You bless me, it flows out. Amen. You bless me to bless others. You equip me to equip others. You empower me to empower others. You love on me to love others. That's what this is all about. Amen. It's reciprocal. It's ebb and flow. Amen. As God gives, he expects to flow. That's why the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. God didn't give you all that talent, knowledge, ability, wealth, influence, so that you can sit there and treat others like they're less and they're nobody, amen, and they're the gum on the bottom of your shoe. No, God will bless you and do things in your life so that you can humble yourself to reach to those that are less fortunate, those that are less equipped, those that are without Christ, and make a difference. And when we get this revelation, I'm telling you, I believe, amen, that we would have revival across our fellowships if we would just stop thinking it's about us. And start understanding that it's all about God. Let's stand right now. In closing, I want to read one last passage in Exodus 33. And I believe that this is the foundation, the crux, amen, the access in which everything pivots and spins and rotates in the kingdom of God and the economy of God's kingdom. And when it comes to influence, leadership, Moses, amen. I love Moses, as you can tell. Amen. His life speaks so much to us, especially those that aspire to lead God's people. Verse 13, 33 and 13 says, "Now therefore I pray thee," this is Moses, "if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence," this is the Lord speaking back to Moses, he says, "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And this is what Moses says back to God, kind of like, good. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." Amen. And what I gather from that as a leader is that never lead without God's presence going before you. Never try to lead people where God has not led you. Never try to do things in your own ability if God has not given you the wisdom or the insight yet. Don't try to be deep if you're not deep. Amen. Master where you're at. Work with the gifting that you have. Use the anointing that you've got. There's only one Pastor Richardson. Don't try to be Pastor Richardson. Amen. There's only one Pastor Richardson. Amen. Follow him as he follows Christ, but be you. Be you. Be who God created you to be in your skills and in your abilities and in your knowledge and all of that. And watch God use you. And watch the satisfaction that comes out of you being who God called you to be. But in all of that, you've got to have God's presence go before you. We cannot lead. We cannot influence. We are delusional, once again, if we think that we can make a difference in the world without Christ. We are no different than the sinner who thinks that their talent and wealth makes a difference. Amen. It's great that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, amen, have become philanthropists and are giving away money. That's great. But let me tell you something. Only the presence of God will make a difference. We know that. Programs are good to a degree, but when you have a society that is decrepit morally and declining and decay, amen, only the presence of God can rectify the wrongs that have come to this nation. Only the presence of God, hear me, church, God is looking for anointed men and women and young people. God is looking to anoint people in this hour. Amen. I believe God wants apostolics in positions of influence and prominence. Amen. God wants us to be the head and not the tail, but God's got to know that he can trust us. How many times has God put us in positions of influence and we lose our mind? God gives us wealth and we just start wasting it on nonsense and doing all this stuff, and God's like looking at us like, come on. I didn't give you that so you can go out and buy this and buy that. I gave you that so you can help build churches. I gave you that so you could fund missions. I gave you that, amen, so that you can build my kingdom. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And all that we do, church, in leading, we must serve. Because apart from servanthood, in the kingdom of God, amen, there is no leadership. Amen? Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I really don't feel like anybody can become a good leader unless they're a good follower. Amen. If you're not pliable and able to take instruction, you'll never go far in the kingdom of God. If you're not faithful in another man's ministry, you'll never have a ministry. And you must pour water on the hands of Elijah before you can ever be Elisha and part waters like Elijah did. Amen. So we serve God through others. Amen. When we serve the Lord, we find that there's blessing that follow. Amen. Serving is fulfills your life's desire. When you serve yourself, you're empty. But when you serve others, you're full. Can you say amen? Oh, it's a blessing to be a servant of the Lord. I remember Brother Urshan said one time, some lady was kind of getting smart with him, said, well, Who's over you? He says, you are. He said, didn't you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning? Did I come? He says, yeah. He said, well, you're in charge of me. Amen. So you know what? We're all serving. We're all in a capacity to serve. And I found out the only way up in God is down. If you never humble yourself, you'll never be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you shall be abased. And I find that God, your gift will make room for itself and bring you before great men. Amen. I remember when I came to God, I didn't feel like I had a whole lot to offer. I was full of zeal, and I was willing to do anything. And that's all God expects, because he says, follow me, and I will make you. Amen. If you're not pliable, you can never be made. Amen. That's why you got to be pliable, because if you don't, you get bent out of shape. Amen. If you're not pliable, you get bent out of shape easy. I remember a man in the Napa church, a real good friend of mine, Brother Sessions. He had his own business, a gardening business, and God blessed him to capacity. I'm telling you, if you stay faithful to God and you're a good servant, God will bless you. And one day his business wasn't even hardly prospering. He was having a struggle. And he was sitting in a restaurant one time when he overheard some businessmen, and they were talking about how they need somebody, and this was like a Union gas station that needed someone to service all their stations up along the Northern California. Well, he overheard them, and he went over and started talking to them, and God gave him that job. Amen. God will leave extra portions on purpose for you if we put God first. God will never take second place in our worship, our servant, our talent, or whatever. God must always be number one. He will never be two. God is a jealous God, and we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his development, and all these things will be added unto you. And I found out a long time ago, the scripture said, that God will take, if you don't use what you have, God will take what you have and give to them that have not. He will develop people that are loyal, faithful, full of zeal, and maybe they don't have all the abilities right then, but God will add to them. As they move forward in the kingdom of God, he will develop them. I said he will develop them. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to go to preacher school to become a preacher. You got to have a call. Amen. And God develops you, and he'll qualify those that he's called. And so God, we got to go through God's schoolhouse. We don't like to go to God's schoolhouse, because God's schoolhouse will take everything out of you that don't look like Jesus. Michelangelo one time, he told people, he said he saw a big piece of rock over there, and he said, there's a Moses in there. He said, what do you mean there's a Moses? That is a big old hunk of rock. You think Moses? He said, how are you going to make a Moses out? He said, I'm going to take everything out of it that don't look like Moses. Amen. So God will take everything out of us that don't look like Jesus. And the moment we think we should be exalted is the time to say, wait a minute, God. God said, no, I got some more development in you before you could become what I want you to become. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? But when he gets done, and he's always working on us, he makes something beautiful out of our life. I said he makes something beautiful out of our life. Amen. And don't get down on yourself. Amen. Don't you look, just say, you know what, God, whatever it takes to get anything out of me that's unlike you, please do it. He gonna do it anyhow, so just tell him to do it for, you know. Amen. So I said, well, I don't know if I want to pray for patience, because God's going to send tribulation. He's going to send anyhow. So you might as well just be yielded. Oh, God, here I am. I need patience, and maybe you're going to bring some trouble in my life, but it's going to develop me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to become a crackpot on the self, because when God starts developing you, he's going to put you in the fire to see what you're made of. And if you crack in the fire, amen, you can't. We don't want to be a guest vessel of honor and of gold. It takes purging. It takes, he that beareth forth fruit, he purges it, bring forth more fruit. And so God is always in the process of refining him. He said, I bought you in the furnace of affliction. We don't like that part. We want the joy. We want to run the aisles like everybody tonight. But you know what? The time when your face is to the ground and your tears are flowing comes the greatest anointing and the greatest callings in your life. Amen. I remember when God called me to be a pastor. I mean, it was, I'd already been called of God and had a generalized it, but I remember when God gave me anointing to become a pastor. Something in me died through a trial that I went through. I never told anybody. I was a assistant pastor for Brother Price during that time, and man, he had a type of ministry that could really just crucify you. Oh, dear Lord. I died 1,000 deaths under his ministry, but that's what I needed to become what I am today. And I remember that, oh, I felt I was so cut back and cut by the word of God so deeply that, you know, just like when you go and see those vines that flow down the Napa Valley and, you know, when they trim them back, you think, dear Lord, I don't think that thing will ever grow again. Look how close they cut that thing. And sometimes God will trim out the carnality out of our heart. Oh, dear Lord, it hurts. But I'm glad that when it gets done bleeding, he'll put some salve in it and he'll help you grow. But I remember this one trial that I went through that, I mean, I felt anointing come on my life that has kept me through the day that I'm living today. It's when God put his hand on me to be a pastor. I think there's a special calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. And it was through that trial that I didn't even tell Brother Price about what I went through, but he had enough of God in him, he knew. Amen. And after the glory of God, after the trial and the bleeding, man, the glory came. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And so after that, it was not too long after that, Brother Price came up and said, you know what, I think you need to be ordained. And I didn't tell him anything, but God did it in his timing. God did it in his timing. God is a God in his timing. He makes everything beautiful in his time. And so if you just stay on the wheel, and don't get in a hurry. I find one of the greatest things that I know, and young men especially, they got to hurry up. But you might hurry up like that one guy said, he got to go tell the message. When he got there, he had to wait till the next guy showed up that had the message. Amen. So we got to wait on our ministry. We got to wait on our calling. We got to wait on our development. Everybody want to be developed? I believe you can be a leader on your job. I believe you can be a leader, but put God in it. Can you say amen? Put God in it, and God will bless your life. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for the move of the Holy Ghost. Let's just thank God in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, I love you, God. I love you, God. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't we just all come towards the front and ask God to develop us, ask God to cleanse us, ask God to purge us if we need to be purged. Amen. We don't like to pray those prayers, but God, take out anything that don't look like Jesus. Hallelujah. God, help us to be more servanthood. Help us, Lord, to not say, well, this is my time. We want it to become your time, God. What would you have me to do? Come on, let's just ask the Lord to touch us right now. Glory to God. Come on. Oh, there's no place I'd rather be than hearing your love. Hearing your love. Oh, God. Come on, everybody pray. Everybody worship. Everybody ask God to help us here tonight. Hallelujah. More of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Reach over and pray with somebody.